The reading this week is Psalm 20, which you can find on page 553 of the Pew Bible. A Psalm of David. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary, and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the King. Answer us when we call. Amen.
Words and meaning is a part of the service where we focus on the meaning of a word, perhaps in scripture or related to the Christian faith. And just in recent times, one word has been very much in mind, Epiphany. On the 6th of January, the period known as Epiphany began. It will last until Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the period known as Lent. And in it all, it's a reminder of three people who made a journey, who saw signs and who brought gifts. The scripture tells us that the Magi, or the wise men, as they're often known, made a journey from some distance away from the east to Jesus. They saw the sign of his birth, and they recognized something significant and special. We don't know much about them. We do know that they brought three gifts. Gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All of which had significance for Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. They recognized his divinity and set him apart. But Epiphany has developed in different ways, in different aspects of the church, in particular the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church. They recognize and they see the significance of Epiphany in different ways. And sadly, in the midst of that, all kinds of other ideas and thoughts have gathered round. Things which perhaps are mystical, but actually are missing the point. And so when we read in scripture of three people who see a sign, who follow a star, who bring a gift, and ultimately bring themselves, there's a call to us and to the church to recognize the signs of the times, to recognize God in the midst of it all, and to bring ourselves and all that we have and all that we have to offer. That's something to consider very much so during the period of Epiphany. Leadership. It's what many people aspire to. It's what some people admire. And it's what most people don't fully understand. For being a leader is complex. There's a desire to relate to others and understand them. Yet there's recognition of a distinctive role to fulfill. That prompts a different perspective. It should promote long-term vision. It must include an ongoing overview of all things, and it invariably leads to decisions being taken, some of which might be unpopular, and some of which might be misunderstood. In it all, there should be a desire for betterment, for whatever that means, and whomever it involves. But that's not always the case. Add a spiritual dimension, and matters become more complex. Some would say the stakes are higher, the cost greater, the expectation all the more so, yet the reward all the greater. Throw in personality, motivation, character, experience, and all manner of foibles and traits, and it's clear that much can influence and determine the leader and the nature of their leadership. But in Christian leadership, there is also a call. God seeks out, pinpoints, prepares, nurtures and enables particular people at particular times for particular tasks. And as Christians, there might be individuals who come to mind. People who've come to prominence for what they've said or done. People who have influenced you, perhaps. But as Christians, there are other sources. Look to the Bible alone, and all manner of examples are displayed, each with their merits and demerits, but all demonstrating extraordinary faith. King David falls into that category, revered within Judaism and admired for the most part in the Christian faith. David, like no other, demonstrated God's call to leadership, embracing all that means in the course of a lifetime of faith. Stepping out from obscurity, seemingly ill-equipped, appearing to be unqualified, almost overlooked, yet an individual on whom God's favour rested. And whilst that clearly set him apart, a different complexion is given in the Psalms. When the title is given as a Psalm of David, we read of trial and tribulation, of angst and challenge, as much as triumph and overcoming, and in them all the person and the personality are visible. But Psalm 20 differs. Yes, this is a Psalm of David. And yes, there is evidence of turmoil and struggle, but through it, a different kind of leadership is displayed. This is a leadership embraced by others, by the people. This is a leadership recognized by others, by the people. And this is a leadership that involves the people themselves. For Psalm 20 includes three different responses, all of which relate to you, I, and we. You, I, and we. And so this psalm becomes a shared psalm. In it comes a shared response, all in the face of overwhelming odds and great challenge. And in it comes a shared approach to God. A desire for God to answer prayer. A desire for God to intervene. A desire for God to be made known. All with the belief that He will. And so this psalm is unique. It may share similarities with Psalm 21, but differs in that it's set before the event and not after. Meaning that emotions are raw, faith is stretched with fear never far away. And in the context of that time, the event was battle. relating to the events recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 10. In it all, King David prays as leader, but the words we read are those of the people. For those who formed the congregation are praying and are heard, are praying that God will hear the prayer of the king. A coming together of both leader and his people, making this psalm one that speaks of a shared and collective vision. A psalm that highlights togetherness and belonging. May the Lord answer you, verse 1. May he send you help, verse 2. May he remember all that you have done, verse 3. For all stood together, and all recognized their shared future together. That without each other, and without God, there would be no tomorrow. But the prayer of those people went further. In it was recognition of their leaders' plans and ideas. There was an embracing and trust that the way ahead was being worked out in and through the king. So much so that the prayer of the people was at one with their leader. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. Verse 4. But ultimately, the prayer of the people was at one with God, with his will and purpose. For leaders can come and go, but the Lord remains. And so Psalm 20 points to a collective confidence amongst those who prayed. For them, the setting up or displaying of banners was a reflection of it. So sure were they of God's deliverance, ensuring that whatever the challenge, it was an opportunity to rejoice together. For the raising of the banner meant God's intervention, his victory, and the displaying of the banner was an act of defiance in the face of whatever might seek to thwart God's purposes. We will shout for joy when you are victorious. We will lift up our banners in the name of our God. Verse 5. And whilst there was anticipation of their victory, the words of this psalm also point to Jesus, for the fulfilling of all that Jesus did, and in recognition of his anointing, the one like no other. For when King David prayed of the Lord saving his anointed, the Hebrew language he used related to victory as well as to the name of Jesus. It's true that the saving and answering and demonstration of God's power applied to King David, but they applied to Jesus Christ all the more. And having applied to Jesus, they now apply to all who come to believe in his name. For when we are saved, we are his. And when we are his, he answers our cry or our call. And when he answers, he demonstrates his response with power, prompting us to consider where our trust can be placed, just as the psalm says. And just as the psalm suggests, it's possible to misplace trust in all manner of people or things. Yet, as the psalm points out, true trust can only be known in the name of the Lord. Not just a name in itself, but an expression of God's faithfulness to those who believe. But we trust in the name of the Lord. Verse 7. For these words, for these are words that we must say, that we can learn to say, sharing together in what that means and what it can and will achieve. For the words of Psalm 20 speak to us all. They may talk of leadership and following. They may speak of trust and assurance. But most of all, they speak of togetherness. And God speaks to us through it. For the call of God is for you and I to become we. And when we become we, when we are joined together and know it, when we are found together and seek it, and when we work together and desire it, then as a congregation with its own leader, we can all say, answer us when we call, knowing that he will. Let us pray. Lord, help us as we relate to you, as we relate to each other, to those who come, to those whom we encounter, to the community in which we serve, as we believe and trust in you all the more. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.